Thousands of civilians, in fact hundreds of thousands, have already fled Kobani across the border, and hundreds more leaving now as Islamic...
...and around Kobani, which indicates possibly that the US-led military coalition that is meant to be trying to stop the advance of the Islamic State may well have heard the cries for help that people have been making from Kobani for the last 3 weeks. Certainly we have hardly seen any airstrikes during the daytime. They mostly happen at night, and they seem to be very far and few between. But I witnessed 3 airstrikes late this afternoon as the sun was setting, and I was standing with a bunch of Kurdish protesters and supporters who had sort of come to a hill overlooking Kobani to show their support. And every time there was a US-led airstrike on Islamic militant positions, a huge cheer went up from the crowd because they've been waiting for this level of support for so long.
Is there a sense, though, that the airstrikes, the time might be past for that? Because there's also reports of IS militants within the town now, and the fighting really reduced more to a street-by-street level.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of people that I was talking to this afternoon really do fear that it's too little too late for Kobani. And one man I stood with, he was an elderly man. He'd left Kobani 5 days ago and he was just weeping. And he was saying despite the airstrikes, his home's been destroyed, his neighbours' homes have been destroyed. And he fears that there will be very little of his town left to go back to, even if the Islamic State militants are pushed out of it.
So there is still a hope from those who live in Kobani and others that they can push IS out. But have you heard any reports or from the border? I know you spent the day at the border again today. Could you see the sign of the sort of in-city guerrilla fighting going on? Is that what's happening?
No. I mean, we can see the airstrikes, and we can see the mortar attacks from the Islamic State landing and exploding. You can hear the booms and see the puff of white smoke coming up. And we've been able to see over the last week the Islamic State advancing quite far into Kobani just by where the airstrikes are landing. But what we can hear now is increased exchanges of gunfire from within the town, and they sound like they're very close together. So you're right, it does sound like it's street by street fighting, which of course the YPG is very experienced in, and so they feel they can do the most damage and have the most success if they're actually face to face with Islamic State militants as opposed to being outgunned by them. The Kurdish forces only having Kalashnikovs and the Islamic State having tanks that they can use to fire mortars into the town with.
As you say, America using more airstrikes today. There have been talk of America bringing in helicopter gunships. Did you see any evidence of that?
No, I've seen some, what I understand to be Turkish military helicopters flying over Turkish soil, but I haven't seen any sign of US helicopter gunships. And only today was the first time I actually saw one of those planes from the US-led military coalition in the sky just after an airstrike. The most military action that we see every day is, of course, the Turkish military maintaining its very large presence on the border, but using it not to fight against the Islamic State militants, but to push back the Kurdish protesters who are trying to edge closer to the border and to show their support for the battle in Kobani.
Let's talk about the Turkish presence there at the border. We've all seen the images, the troops and the long line of tanks positioned there on the border just above Kobani. Did they move today in to help, given what you've described, this increased tempo of US airstrikes and now the street-to-street fighting or the gunfire you can describe? Have they moved in to help do anything yet?
Not at all. Their entire attention today was focused on chasing in their armoured personnel carriers and firing huge volleys of tear gas at both the Kurdish protesters and by our presence near the Kurdish protesters, the media, who was trying to simply stand on the hill and report what was happening in Kobani. So it's really ironic to see this massive show of force from the Turkish military, but with their backs to Kobani, firing tear gas at the Kurdish protesters.
And how does Turkey justify that? I mean, we've had the comment today from the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, saying that he believes Kobani is about to fall, and yet still no order for Turkey to go and help. What's going on?
Well, I think Turkey from the very beginning of the civil war in Syria has been incredibly reluctant to be drawn in to the ongoing crisis that's happening inside Syria. And they're now almost doubly reluctant because it involves one of their sworn and historic enemies, which is the YPG and the PKK, the Kurdish militia forces. So for them, this is a very tough call. And what they're asking for from the US is for a no-fly zone to be established and for a safe corridor to be established in that area before they're prepared to go in with their forces. And of course, the US has consistently refused to agree to that over the last 3 years. And they reissued that request over the weekend. And the US, you know, still appears very cold on the idea.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. We're speaking with Ruth Pollard, the Middle East correspondent for Fairfax newspaper, Sydney Morning Herald and the Melbourne Age. She spent much of the past week on the Syrian-Turkish border. What would be achieved by a no-fly zone or a safe corridor?
I think what Turkey is after is some reassurance that the Assad regime won't suddenly take to the air in its quite powerful air force and start taking on the Turkish military if they did advance into Syrian territory. Because, of course, the Assad regime would be absolutely dead against Turkey entering its territory and would push back accordingly. They would see this as an act of war. Turkey, not surprisingly, is seeking some reassurance from the US that there would be support if that did occur.
So in the meantime, as Turkey stands back, and there's protests, I understand, from Kurdish citizens right across Turkey, blaming the Turkish government for not stepping in to help save Kobani, that has implications for the pretty fragile peace process there between the Kurdish Workers' Party, the PKK, and the Turkish government. You'd have to say that's in a bad state at the moment. But still, Turkey doesn't move. So there's any international pressure on Turkey, if that exists. Is there any sign of that international pressure having any impact?
No, I mean, certainly NATO came out in the last 24 hours and told Turkey that it would support Turkey if it chose to get involved in this international coalition against the Islamic State. But as yet, apart from, as you say, Erdogan saying in the last 24 hours that he feared Kobani would soon fall and that more action needed to be taken. I mean, apart from those words, nothing's happened. And the Kurdish people are getting more and more desperate, both inside Syria in Kobani, but also the Kurdish population of Turkey. But the last group of people I spent time with tonight before I came back was a huge peace protest that has gathered on the outskirts of Suruç, the nearest Turkish town to Kobani. And people had driven and been bussed in from all over Turkey, Kurdish people mostly, but many Turks as well, to show their support for Kobani. So this is going to be an ongoing political problem for the Turkish government, whatever happens in Kobani.
And hundreds of thousands of people we know have already fled Kobani and the surrounding towns over the past week or so, trying to seek refuge in Turkey, such as the fear of the march of the IS militants. Are more people still fleeing Kobani, Ruth, or are those that are there trapped there now? There's still people trying to get refuge on the Turkish side of the border?
Yeah, I saw a few trucks of refugees coming out of the closed military zone from Kobani, and those trucks are driving them into the Turkish town of Suruç. But certainly the flow of refugees has significantly slowed as the Islamic State militants have advanced inside the town. There are still, we understand, maybe up to 100,000 civilians still trapped inside Kobani. And people have been really delaying leaving Kobani because it's a semi-rural area, so they've got their crops and also their cattle, sheep, goats to tend to. They know that if they leave their farms, be it animals or crops, will just die. And so they've been trying to sort of try and maintain those, get their family into Turkey. And it's been, you know, a terrible, heart-wrenching decision for people to make every day.
That's Ruth Pollard, the Middle East correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald and the Melbourne Age, reporting from the Syrian-Turkish border, where she spent this day and most of the last week.